pulling around a little bit on the 5.5, and they're putting the reading paper together on it now.
Looks to me anything. Today?
Yep.
He said no or yes?
Well, he said that 5.5 is, you know, not flexible enough for the policy. It's more flexible than George and that, that lot. I think George expected that. He's put some material together for you.
And he ended up on saying it was 5.5 or whatever. But
they made it clear that it's flexible, as it was last year.
He got it over to the person yesterday.
They were working the Sapphire. It was working on about an hour ago, so somebody
sure did that. That's fine.
I want to raise two things with you today, so I don't have to bother you with them tomorrow.
Sure.
First of all, Foreman, the new championship, George Foreman, he was an athlete for Mexico. I talked to my friend Barney Wilkie around California.
Oh, yeah.
I said, listen, Mr. Foreman, he's a fantastic guy. As a matter of fact, Nation's Business asked Oldfield, he goes for an article for him entitled, Don't You Ever Put Down the American System to Me. So apparently, a guy who's been pretty vocal about the fact that, look, I came from nowhere and I made it on my own, and you know, don't kick this place around. That's so true. I told Rose that. She had to play
him. Right. Good. Right. That's good.
So, should have
a. Yeah, well, it'll be come.
Yeah. Then the other thing, Mr. President, I raise this now. I don't think it's worth it. Hart
Mullenhoff. Yeah, off the
well, he is pushing the case of Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
And I won't burden you with the details, but he says that one of the generals who testified in the Civil Service Committee here indicated that his investigative record showed that Fitzgerald was cleared in May of 1969. Clark then goes on to point out in his letter to you that he gave me that when he was here serving as your special counsel,
yeah,
that the Air Force came into his office, the Clark's office here at the White House, in December of 1969, many months later, and indicated that Fitzgerald was still under question for conflict of interest and so forth.
Right.
The point of his letter is that he feels something should be done. He feels that something should be done about the Fitzgerald case. And if not, he feels that he is compelled to testify before the civil service here.
Right, right. Well, but wait a minute. He's got to
see, which would mean that he would be testifying before the civil service hearing on information that he obtained while he was working in for the President of the United States. And he says
he didn't get it from me, though.
No. And he, Clark, I don't think understands it to him, because he points out in here that he said, as I know, as you know, I disagree with the President's mission on executive approval. I would not avail myself under any circumstances.
What else? Okay, let's let it go. What is the situation on the case? I don't think I have any
understand
it, whatever.
What I would like to do
is
because he has this letter, he said,
right.
To have John Lee call a party in.
Yeah.
Right. Your request.
Right.
And simply give the facts on this parallel case and see what.
Governor President wants him to get the facts and see what the situation is. And we'll let it end it. But then it would be best that he not raise it tonight.
That's what I was saying, John.
You should call him in. Just better get him in.
I'm going to call a party in.
Yeah. And say, look, the President talked about it. He says, look, he has no picture recollection.
Didn't get a phone
raffle today. Oh, I see. But I see the case I was thinking about when he asked me was the other case.
Right. And that's the one that Admiral Kidd did such a great job at having.
Yeah.
But Clark being such a zealot as he is.
No, well, he may be right.
He might be right.
But what I want to tell him, the president, is maybe he says he may be right and says to get to the bottom of it, we'd like for him, the president has to do 2 things. One, to talk to Dean, and he says the president has some recollection that Harlow has some information on him. I'd like to talk to Harlow. And then to present the facts to me, and I'll see what we can do. On the president's taking a personal interest in it, but I don't want him to write in that bill.
No.
He can later, on
a private basis.
He'd be privileged to write it later, but I said that I thought that I got to get to the bottom of this case, so we didn't do it. And ask him that I'd be interested in his personal evaluation. He thinks he's a good man. All right, fine.
Well, he sent you a call on the devices tomorrow about Kenneth Cook, retired Air Force weapons analysis, who died of a heart attack in 54. As Clark said, there was a shock in the market after he was living on the very low south because of his hold in Iraq. See, part of it.
Who was it?
Kenneth Cook. Well, he didn't do it.
He didn't crash.
But this is one of these.
Well, now, Clark, though, you've got to remember that he also, in fairness, did wrong. Clark, Clark was also one of those fellows that tried to defend that other, that State Department. Remember that guy that we put on? I think he was with Willard Edwards on that case. You remember that case?
I don't remember the name.
Well, the one that involved, the can in the State Department, you know, because he conducted security. Remember we put him on the National Army?
Oh, yeah,
I'll just say that the president says that this intrigues him. The case intrigues him, and he sends Clark's an honest reporter, and he wants the facts, and he's asked Dean to get the facts, and also to discuss the executive privilege of to get the facts. He'd also like for him to get, he wants Harlow, like to get Harlow's judgment on it. No, this is not one. Let's get off our back. We just want to know the facts, but he must not write it until we get the facts and knowledge, and then it'll be pertinent. When they get Dean gets it properly presented, it will be presented to me, and I'll make a judgment on it myself. Fair enough.
Okay.
And I call him, and I say, very careful with the president, instead of taking a personal interest in decided to do a judgment on this himself. You can't write it yet. First, talk to Dean. He'd also like to be in front of Harlow. Both Dean and Harlow. Also, to get the Air Force's judgment, just their side of it, too.
I guess I raise this in this manner.
I
just don't want to hit you there.
Well, you say this is very interesting. Now, the main point that you would see coming up tomorrow, I guess, is what maybe the aid of Vietnam and food prices. The dollar and wage price.
Sapphire is just a memo that we worked on.
What do you think we ought to get out of this?
Down,
or at least
They pressed him to
level out.
They pressed George. Well, can you give a date on the grocery store price?
Of course not.
He said, of course I can. As we've said before, we expect farm prices to be at the same level end of this year as they were at the start of this year. That will have an impact on grocery prices. We expect, because it's necessary to take to increase supply, which is the problem to demand, for food prices to begin to level out and go down. In the second half of the year, as you said in the letter. I asked him to unlock, and maybe a good answer, where he said, what we want to do is to write that in relation to the food prices. Someone said, what do you think the right thing is? And he said, to get food prices down. So that.
criminal.
I'm inclined, first of all, I don't think it's a question that I'm going to
do.
I'm inclined to think.
Throw it on the better ground.
You're not to get into it at this point. But there's some land between seven or eight ways together, which you point out.
Thank you.
In general terms.
I just wanted to say the Attorney General is going to testify.
Because if you say, or I'm all by shield law, or shield law, if you're not for shield law, have any of those statements.
I'm just going to say, look, this is a very technical matter, and I can only point out that it's primarily a matter that involves local, local and state practices, proceedings at other levels rather than the federal. There have been only three a year in this administration. Nevertheless, there is a problem that concerns the press. The Attorney General will present the position of the administration later this week. Very technical, I don't want to. That's not very. Well, I'm just saying it's primarily for local matter rather than federal. The freedom of the press versus the security of the country. The freedom of the press versus the. But the criminals go free.
That's what a full shield law would do.
Well, the press.
Many of them, a lot of the press are fearful of it. But they will
shield why they do it.
Well, because it's an accident. Shield law, the federal shield law binding to the states, well then that is a step or a possible step toward the federal regulation. It's mixed. Faith is very mixed on it. You can God's right stand. Some of the network people screaming for a shield law, a qualified shield law, because of their own economic self-interest in the way they divert issue away from network dominance. That's very well taken. I don't think we should
do
that. That's right. That's right. One of the others.
What do you mean then? Why was the shield law got to do with network dominance?
They know they're vulnerable on network dominance.
Yeah. So what's the shield and how does the shield?
By suggesting that everything we do.
Oh, I see. It's a
threatening.
So that's where we are threatening them and suppressing them.
Right. And therefore they're going to scream about that, saying we need a shield law to protect us from an administration that is throwing people in jail, this type of thing.
Why are we?
No, of course not.
What TV men have been thrown in jail?
No, whatever. By going that route in a press conference, you never get a question that you are right in the center of it. Leading to taking now is that we have the guidelines which have been very workable. We have no objection to codification of that by legislation, but we don't feel it should go any further, and it's not needed now as far as we're concerned. In the motion of time,